Good morning, everybody, and an especially warm welcome to anybody who may be here for the first time or who is visiting. It's good to have you with us, and we do hope you will stay with us after the service for refreshments in the Mayo Hall. After the service, there's an opportunity also to buy some chocolate eggs in the Mayo Hall in aid of Christian Aid, and Myrtle Austin has bags full of them which you would like to move in your direction. And then this evening, there's reflective worship with communion at 6:30. Only one item of personal news, and that is that Anne Patterson is now out of hospital. I'm sorry, she's back in, is she? Oh dear, came out and went back in. Sorry about that. Looking further ahead, as I mentioned last week, Helen Jones is participating in the Bupa 10-kilometre London Run on the 27th of May, so a week from now, to raise funds for ABF, the Soldiers Charity, and she would welcome any sponsorship anybody might like to give. There's something about this in the Mayo Hall. And then on Wednesday, the 6th of June, there's an activity morning here at the church, and Steve Wenman would welcome any volunteers who might be able to help on that morning. Please do have a word with Steve, if you can. We're looking for some items for homeless people, which would be much appreciated. Things like shower gel, shampoo, toothpaste, socks, and underwear. We only need a few items, so if you think you might be able to help, please have a word with Sally Butler, who can tell you what is needed most urgently. As part of the 350th anniversary celebrations, which will be continuing this year, we are compiling a book about how people came to the church here in the first place. And Tony Wenman is putting this booklet together, telling people's personal stories of how they found out and about the church and came to join us. If you would like to contribute, please do have a word with Tony. He hasn't had very many contributions so far. And finally, today is your last chance, if you've not done so already, to support Georgina, Peter Ashdown, Ray Erskine, Rose Emming-Barley, and or me, all of whom will be circling the city in aid of Christian Aid later today. And if you haven't yet sponsored one of us, there'll be an ample opportunity in the Mayo after the service.
We are Kingston United Reformed Church. We celebrate our diversity of worship and freedom of relationship with the state. With the whole Christian Church, we will follow Jesus. We will serve him in our community and in our daily lives in the strength of the Holy Spirit. Come, let us praise the Lord. Let us sing for joy to God who protects us. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and sing joyful songs of praise. Come, let us bow down and worship him. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our God. We are the people he cares for, the flock for whom he provides. Let us commence our worship with hymn number 289, To God Be the Glory. Thank you. So let us now have a time of prayer. Sovereign God, we praise you today for the freedom we enjoy as a nation and as individuals. Freedom of speech and expression. Freedom in this country from war and oppression. A freedom secured at such enormous human cost. For all we owe to so many, receive our thanks. We thank you for all who have made freedom possible. We praise you for all who fight against tyranny, hatred, and evil, prepared to sacrifice everything. And we salute their courage shown in the face of danger. We thank you for the peace we enjoy today, a peace which we need to treasure constantly, nurture carefully, and safeguard always. We praise you for those today who fight for international freedom and justice. Members of UN peacekeeping forces. We thank you that we have freedom to express our religion. Freedom to acknowledge you openly, publicly. We pray that the day will come when there will be no more wars, when all nations will live in harmony. Until that time, help us to learn the lessons of the past and to remember its sacrifices. We are reminded today of how easy it is to speak of peace and how difficult it is to pursue it. Yet we are reminded also that this is what you want from us, to live in such a way that we heal wounds rather than create them. That we unite rather than divide. That we reconcile rather than separate. For our share in the world's continuing pain, Lord, forgive us. We confess the things within us which make for conflict. Pride. Greed. Envy. Intolerance. Our nursing of petty grievances. Our unwillingness to forgive, our preoccupation with self and our lack of time for others, for our share in the world's continuing pain, Lord, forgive us. Rescue us from all that keeps us apart and put a new spirit within us, a spirit of love and openness, acceptance and understanding, healing and reconciliation. May the peace we pray for begin here and now in our hearts, and so may we be instruments of your peace, bringing healing to our broken world. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And shall we continue the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Introduction to the theme. I'm wearing my Chelsea tie. I also have my Chelsea scarf. In case anyone doesn't know, Chelsea are now champions of Europe, having won last night in Munich, even though they did finish one place behind Newcastle in the league. I'm actually introducing sport, or a sport, if you call it a sport, which is abseiling. Now that's where you go down on a rope, down a cliff or a tall building on a rope. And I've done it a couple of times as a rookie off a sort of, I suppose, about a house high sort of cliff. The thing about abseiling is you have this rope, which is, if I remember rightly, it's fixed to a tree or a rock or something, and then it reaches down over the cliff and down to the bottom to the ground. And you have to thread this rope through a S-shaped, some sort of bracket thing, and then hold it out, and then the rest of it is going down to the ground. And what you have to do, you have to go to the edge of the precipice, stand with your back to it, and then lean back, trusting on this rope, so you're at least 45 degrees angle or more. It takes a bit of nerve if you've never done it before. And there is a safety line attached to you which goes around the waist of the instructor and he's holding it. So if you make a mistake somewhere, in theory, he'll stop you crashing to the ground. The way it works is that if you hold your arm down, if I remember this right, the rope plays out and you start going down. But if you move your hand up, the friction increases and you can stop yourself or you can control the descent so it's slowly. And you have your legs out sideways. You can actually sort of walk down the side if it was a building. But if it's a cliff, it tends to not be that easy. But you can stop, protect yourself from scraping or swing banging against the cliff face with your legs out at one side. So you kind of walk down, letting out the rope until obviously you reach the bottom. But it takes a little bit of courage, a little bit of nerve, that first time, to actually lean out over whatever the drop is, just on this rope, knowing that if you put your hand down by your side by mistake, you'd go zonk. And this is really what the theme today is about. It's having trust, having belief. And if you believe strongly enough in God, then you needn't have that fear, because you know you'll be safe, that you'll cope somehow. You might not come down in a most professional descent, but you will descend safely. So the theme today is about having trust, belief, and losing your fears, or having courage through that. Let us sing again hymn number 92, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
Now, from the Acts of the Apostles, Kathy Seymour is going to give us our first reading.
Hello? I'll start again. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul travelled through the interior of the province and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? We have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit," they answered. "Well then, what kind of baptism did you receive?" Paul asked. "The baptism of John," they answered. Paul said, "The baptism of John was for those who turned from their sins, and he told the people of Israel to believe in the one who..." Now, Dave Richards is going to give us our second reading from John's Gospel.
Thank you, David. Let us sing again hymn number 117. 117. I suppose if I'm talking about courage and faith, I should really talk about Chelsea, shouldn't I? But unfortunately, I didn't know the result before I wrote the sermon. Jesus is talking with his disciples, knowing that his arrest and death are fast approaching. I did come from the Father, and I came into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. He is warning of what is to come and says how they will scatter. Jesus says that when the disciples are scattered, I will be left all alone. But I am not really alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you will have peace by being united to me. He then adds, the world will make you suffer, but be brave. I have defeated the world. We can read into that a message for us. The world will at times make us suffer, but we can be brave and endure because we are not really alone. The Father is with us, and we can have inner peace by knowing we are united with Jesus and by having faith with him. As Jesus tells us in the same account, the Father himself loves you. He loves you because you love me and have believed that I came from God. Although to me today's reading is somewhat obscure, and it might depend upon the translation from the original Greek, the disciples apparently suddenly saw clearly what Jesus was telling them in speaking about God, his Father, and himself. And Jesus did also predict they would scatter like sheep, leaving him, the shepherd, all on his own, though not alone. So when we are faced with adversity, we are not to panic or freeze with fear, give up on life, opt out, or whatever. God is with us. We can take courage, like the rookie abseiler, and face up to whatever. Courage is a positive thing and something that the knowledge of God being with us can bolster. A federal judge in the USA had ordered New Orleans to open its public schools to African-American children. And white parents decided that if they let black children in, they would keep their children out. They let it be known that any black children who came to school would be in for trouble. So the black children stayed at home as well, all except Ruby Bridges. Her parents sent her to school all by herself, 6 years old. Every morning, Ruby walked alone through a heckling crowd to an empty school. White people lined up on both sides of the road and shook their fists at her. They threatened to do terrible things to her if she kept coming to their school. But every morning at 8:10, 6-year-old Ruby walked in, head up, eyes ahead, straight through the mob. 2 U.S. marshals walked ahead of her, and 2 walked behind her. Then she spent the whole day alone with her teachers inside that big silent school building. Dreadful when you think of it. A Harvard professor, Robert Coles, was curious about what went into the making of courageous children like Ruby Bridges and talked to her mother. She told him, there's a lot of people who talk about doing good and a lot of people who argue about what's good and what's not good. But there are other folks who just put their lives on the line for what is right. Ruby, and I guess her parents, put herself on the line. If we put our trust in God, then we can trust him to support us and give us the courage to face up to adversity or for standing out for what is right. You will remember that Jesus calmed the storm when his disciples were fearful and Jesus had been sleeping. He calms our storms if we place our trust in him. Trust is an elusive thing to really achieve. You may have heard of the theory of an advanced automated highway system involving magnets embedded in the asphalt every 4 feet to transmit signals between the vehicle and a main computer system. Steering, acceleration, and braking would be controlled not by you, the driver, but by sensors, computer navigation systems, and cameras along the side of the road. Great, you would just sit back and enjoy the ride, each car automatically keeping a short distance behind the one in front and all going the same quite fast speed. They say they have the technology, but the only thing they couldn't do would be to get people to comfortably trust the system. Would you drive closely spaced at 60 miles an hour on motorways and dual carriageways without even having control of the steering? As a mental health social worker, I'm now retired of course, there were times when I had to visit people who were in a disturbed state of mind. Sometimes I was accompanied by a couple of doctors. It was important for me to pray before I entered the house or flat. I would be aware of my safety and make sure I was sitting next to the door rather than the client being nearest to the exit. All sensible precautions. Praying brought a confidence that somehow it would turn out all right, so I then became calm. What I initially was worried or at least anxious about, some terrible assault or tremendous outburst by the client, never happened in 30 years. By being relaxed, sitting down, talking quietly and in a friendly manner, this hopefully helped the client not feel so threatened, and they would be more likely to talk about how they were feeling and what was happening. Okay, sometimes they needed admittance to hospital, and occasionally the police had to be involved. But the worst case scenario never actually happened. Fear of what may happen can freeze you from doing what needs to be done, like a rabbit frozen in the car headlights when it should be leaping for safety. The confidence that God is with you releases you. Of course, things may still be hard, but you come through it and probably strengthened as a result of your experience. So we should not be unduly worried or upset. I mean, this life in the scale of things, in the scale of time, is but a blink of the eye. I had an unusual experience not so long ago, a case of not practicing what I preached. I had a situation where I was going to have a serious and difficult interview with someone, and the way I dealt with it would be crucial. I had fretted about it for 2 or 3 days, and I had prayed. In the middle of a sermon, just like I am now, talking now, I suddenly realized I was preaching about not being afraid, putting yourself into God's hands and letting the Holy Spirit guide. And here was I preaching about something I wasn't doing myself. While I was saying the words, I thought to myself, but why therefore am I afraid of this impending interview? And from that moment on, I felt relieved and no longer worried about it. Of course, I planned what I would say, hopefully guided by the Spirit, but I didn't have that acute worry any longer. I wasn't nervous, and needless to say, God didn't let me down, and the interview went well. I don't worry when leading a service like this. If God intends me to be doing this, then I'm not going to be completely useless. Occasionally, as you well know, I make a mistake. And sometimes it's my own fault, because I may have scrimped with the preparation or didn't check and forgot something. It wasn't God's fault. If we are following God's will for us, then it will turn out okay. Trusting God sustains us, whatever the trials and difficulties we experience. And trust has to build. For example, the longer and closer a relationship with someone, then the greater you will trust them, if they've proved themselves to be trustworthy. The longer we follow Jesus, and put ourselves into his hands, then the greater our trust in him. We often worry ourselves into problems, like trying out abseiling and walking backwards over a precipice. Our fears can cause a lack of confidence. As we need to trust our instructor, so trusting in God gives us confidence, helps us through difficulties. And there are many things we can achieve if we trust in the knowledge that with God we will succeed. God is with us all the while. We are never alone. We can speak to him in prayer in our mind whenever we wish. Through his Holy Spirit, God is there whenever we ask as our guide. And sometimes you have to ask the guide where you ought to be heading, or you may end up somewhere else. The Holy Spirit shows us what is the right action if it is not obvious. And because of God always being with us, we need never fear, but have the courage to follow his guidance. Amen. So let us sing hymn number 591, Do Not Be Afraid, 591. And now for our prayers of intercession. Blessed are you, Lord God, for you are with us in our journeying and in our resting. You are to be found in our homes and our daily lives. You, Lord, are our hope and our strength. In you we trust. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, make yourself known to us in church and through the scriptures, in the breaking of the bread, and in the break of day, and when our hearts are breaking. Help us to see that you travel with us on the road of life, and you never leave us. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may proclaim the good news and tell others of your love. We remember today all who are suffering because of their faith, and those who live in fear, and those whose lives are restricted in countries where it is not safe to openly say you are Christian. We pray for peace in the world, for those areas such as Syria where there is conflict, for them to be resolved and people return to peace and lack of oppression. We pray for political prisoners and the work of Amnesty International, and for all who are captive to doubt, fear, or sin. Lord, walk with us, stay with us, and help us. Lord, may we be at home with you in our homes. May we know that you are near. Help us to know you are with us in all our dealings with others. And we pray for those who are lonely or feel rejected, and all who feel they are missing out on life. We pray for all who have lost vision and hope, for all who are struggling with life. We pray for those people in refugee camps, shanty towns, people struggling to just survive, suffering from famine and poor conditions. May help come to them. And we ask your blessing on all those medical people and aid workers who are working, whether they know it or not, to show your love in the most deprived of places. We pray for those who suffer ill health, maybe in hospital, and in half a minute of silence, if we wish, we bring to you people known to us personally in need of your healing and comfort. Lord, as in you we are born anew, we remember before you the faithful departed. May we share with them and all our loved ones, both here and departed, in the joy and fullness of life eternal. Finally, we pray for the ongoing success of Christian Aid, bringing help and comfort to millions in your world. In the name of Jesus, Amen. And now it is time to take our offertory. Lord God, we ask for your blessing on these gifts, that they may be used to further the service of your church. And we ask your blessing on the Christian aid gifts being collected today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our final hymn, number 603. In your journeys to and fro, God direct you. In your happiness and pleasure, God bless you. In care, anxiety, or trouble, God sustain you. In peril and in danger, God protect you. And the blessing of God the Creator, Jesus his Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.